This morning, our Bible reading is from Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Since we became alive again, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven where he sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have a little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. Away then with sinful earthly things. Deaden the evil desires lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, shameful desires. Don't worship the good things in life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger is upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it is dead and gone. You are living a brand new life, a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters. And he is equally available to all.
Thank you. I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. It's not simply ink on the page. It speaks to the most intimate parts of our lives. Thank you that there is the greatest truth in these words, and that you continue to offer them to us as your children. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Imagine the scene. You've gone to see a movie. And you have all of the necessary things that you need to see a movie. I mean, you have your popcorn with extra butter in the middle and on the top, okay? They ask that now. Do you want it in the middle and on the top? We go, of course. Let me just have my hand right under there. You can push it right into my mouth. You have your red vines. You have your snow caps. You have your drink. You have your dots, you have your nachos. I mean, right, we need all of those things. In fact, you've ordered so many things, they've given you your separate little tray table just to go ahead and set them up there when you go put on your food. And you get all situated, and you're there in the theater, and you're sitting back, and it's kind of an open theater. There's not a whole lot of other people around. And what happens? Somebody sits right in front of you. Not just somebody, but it might be somebody that has a condition where the glare from the screen bounces off of their head and it's distracting. Maybe they have a big hairdo. Maybe they have a hat, something like that. And although it shouldn't distract you and you can actually see the screen still fine, you keep thinking about that. I mean, it just is on your mind. And you can't enjoy the movie. I mean, it takes you a full half an hour just to get over that. And by that time, you might as well not even be there. There are things that take our focus in this world that shouldn't, aren't there? And sometimes they're the silliest things. Sometimes there are things that whenever we reflect upon it, we think, my gosh, why did I waste 1 minute worrying about that, whenever there are so many more important things that God wants to do in my life. Now understand, I'm not saying that you are going to be a great world famous missionary for God. But I am saying that each and every person that is open to God is going to have great things done inside of them, in their life, by that Heavenly Father. Do you understand the difference? You may not be famous in a worldly sense, but God wants you, wants to work through you, and indeed already is at work in you. You may not believe it. You may be sitting there hearing these words, saying to yourself, he has no idea what he's talking about. But the biblical witness continues to point us to this truth. For the biblical witness says that we are more than flesh and bone. We are more than what the world would define us as. We are citizens of heaven. And that is indeed where our focus should be. Our mind should be on heaven. Our mind should be on things of God. And yet, distractions creep up in the most bizarre places, don't they? And things that we worship other than God. I saw something on the Speed Network the other day. Anybody watch the Speed Network? It's all about racing and cars and things like that. I want you to know that if you had a 1964 Shelby, okay, in 1964, new, it was worth $5,700. $5,700, okay, 64. In auction today, in fact, just last week, it went for $430,000. And what's amazing, and why I realize that I am in quite a different world from these guys buying these cars, is that they go like this and bid $430,000 and don't have a heart attack right afterwards. Or whenever somebody says, you won! Oh no, I'm scratching my nose. Sorry about that. It becomes a focus of our worship. It becomes something that we look at. It becomes something that we focus all of our energy and attention on, rather than God. You okay, Jackie? Okay, already. I don't think she is. Let's pray for her also. In heaven, we need to be thinking about heaven. We need to be thinking about stuff that is not temporary. And yet, my gosh, we have concerns, we have worries, we have bills to pay, we have children to take care of, we have jobs to do, sometimes jobs that we hate. Sometimes we're involved in other things also that we hate, yet we still do them. The message, the good news today is that we can hand all those things over to God and know that He is going to be at work and that He is not only going to sustain, He's going to change. Baptism, you see, in the Christian faith, is dying and rising with Christ, death to an old way of life and resurrection into a new way. Baptism breaks the cosmic power of sin by incorporating the initiate into the church. There are things that are described in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. There are certain behaviors, there are certain sins, there are certain things that are distracting, that are laid out for those individuals to look at, to name, and to be able to say, yeah, I'm guilty of that, but that doesn't mean that I have to, that doesn't mean I have to carry that guilt around. Doesn't mean that I have to feel guilty. It doesn't mean that I have to somehow feel that God has abandoned me or doesn't love me anymore. You see, whenever we are part of the church, that means that we are part of something greater than ourselves. I've heard individuals, and I've had conversations with individuals who have said to me, well, Pastor, I can worship equally whenever I'm out in a boat fishing, or whenever I'm out in the woods, or whenever I'm out in the desert, or when I'm working on my car. And I'm certain, okay, as I'm standing here right now, I'm certain that God can minister to you in those times. No question. But there is something more that God is calling you into. And that is a deeper intimacy that can only be experienced when we are in true fellowship as a true church. Understand this. We are not called to be a social club. We are not called to be a club of any nature. We are called to be the church, the body of Christ. What does that mean? Christ's representatives in the world. Pointing to Jesus, pointing to the cross, pointing to the crucifixion, but most of all, pointing to the resurrection. Because the resurrection of Christ, Christ having gone to the cross, died on it, his dead body being carried off of the cross, Christ was then resurrected, brought back to life, renewed completely. And that kind of renewal, that kind of resurrection power, not only happened at that moment, but it is promised for each and every believer in their life, but also in the life to come. As the church, we say something that really isn't meant to be quaint, but sometimes it comes across as that way. They've gone on to a better thing when someone dies. And it's kind of, you know, a Hallmark sentiment, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with Hallmark, by the way. I send Hallmark cards all the time. But I'm saying, as our faith, it's something more nitty-gritty. When someone has died, and they had that relationship, that saving relationship with God through Christ, then there is an experience of God's glory that is beyond anything that we'll ever experience here and now. It really is greater. It really is love. Betty Hill, a saint of this church, ornery at times also, gone on, is released out of the suffering that she had. And we say she's gone on to greater things, to God's glory. What does that mean? She is in heaven. She's with God. She's with all of those who've gone on before and healed and resurrected. Whenever Jesus was resurrected, whenever he was brought back from the dead, he was brand new. Certainly. He was better than ever. That's what happens with us as well. But is that resurrection power just for that moment? No. It's for this moment right now. For this very time where you're sitting here. It's for the moments that we're going to have in just a few minutes whenever we come up to receive the body and the blood. It's for the present time. Paul in the church, in the letter to the church at Colossae, is saying to them, resurrection power, heaven, are things that we can be mindful of right now. There's certainly a lot of distractions, and there's certainly a lot of things that we're going to do that aren't right. But whenever we come back to God and simply say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. God's grace is already there. There's no need for groveling. There's no need for digging in the dirt, for tearing our clothes, for wearing ashes and sackcloth. God's forgiveness is there because of what happened on the cross. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics, I think, to remember what really defines us and why we are here. Certainly, it's wonderful to see one another. Certainly, it's wonderful to be in a place where love is the primary guiding principle. Certainly. But there's more. God has given us new life. God continues to breathe into us grace. And this morning, we are going to taste of that grace in such a wonderful, dynamic, powerful way. We think about it as communion, and yet it's a taste of heaven. Whenever we are finally at the end of this earthly journey with God forever, communion is a tasting of that kind of goodness, of that kind of love, a reminder that God will never leave us. I think we need reminders of that, don't we? Anybody needed a reminder that God was present with them this past week? You don't have to raise your hand. Do you think that maybe in the next month you'll need a reminder that God's with you? You haven't? Possibly? Hear the translation from the Message of this scripture that was just shared by our sister in Christ as we prepare to come to this table. Sisters and brothers, if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. Christ is your real life. When Christ shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. That means killing off everything connected with the way of death, the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, and dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You are done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put into the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. It has a designer label on it. And the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, civilized, slave and free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, dressed by God for this new life of love, put on the wardrobe God picked out for you. As we come to the table this morning, I invite you to imagine yourself taking off what it is that you've been wearing that God hasn't clothed you in, whatever it may be, laying that down before Him. And as you receive the elements of grace, know that God is clothing you in a new way today as His people, as His chosen ones, as His children that He loves. With those who would be serving communion, please come forward at this time.